Radio.
24 seconds in. Because he's rolling. He got my message.
Did you get his message?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't go to the bathroom.
It. You go to the bathroom.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Tish.
I'm John.
I'll do a little pre-show. I never do that.
A little pre-show?
Here, I got you this gift from Simon. Do you want to know what it is?
What is it?
It's weed lube.
Weed lube. All right.
The vote is still out on whether or not I can use that.
Well, I ain't using it on you.
Well, I'm not asking you to use it on me. I was going to use it by myself, like a normal person.
Hi, welcome to Sing Songers. this is all in. I hope you know. I got some flange on my voice.
You sound sexy.
No, you can't hear it.
I can hear it.
Hello? Okay, that's good. So I'm sick. I'm still sick. But I don't know how long we're going to be able to go today. Do we have to stop right at 2? Matt?
No.
Jeff Davis has commercials at some point, but...
All right. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I don't know if I have the energy to do 2 podcasts today. And I'm cooking for a bunch of Chicago people later on.
Are you doing...
If you're going to talk, get by the mic. Welcome to Sing Songers. Our guest is going to the bathroom because we drove here together.
Are you doing Weekend Dracula tonight?
Yeah. Okay, get up.
Okay, bye.
Well, hi.
Well, hello.
I'm going to take
you must be John Jughead Pearson.
That is all 3 of me, yes. I'm going to put my new phone away. Is this my seat?
We're making some good time. We're already 2 minutes in.
Yeah?
It's the best podcast yet.
I have some of your hard picks here.
Oh, yeah. Do you not like hard picks? You like the medium?
I use really incredibly soft ones because I break...
strings.
I break strings a lot.
You play hard?
I play really hard.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you started with a punk band, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I started with a punk band. And I started not really knowing how to play. Our first rehearsal was pretty much me first playing guitar. So.
Wow, a true punk.
Yeah, yeah. We all started. We didn't even know what instrument each one of us was going to play at first.
So you were a writer back then, just a writer?
I was just out of high school. We started touring when I was 18, so...
Did you write anything in high school?
I was mostly theater, but I studied literature.
Theater, but you studied literature. Sorry, God, Tish is talking.
Yeah, but you know, in high school, you're just studying how to be a person.
Yeah, I wasn't even studying that. I failed. I did not study.
I heard a lot of people talking.
I like. I like them.
Yeah.
It makes me feel professional.
Maybe a little bit later.
I'm going to take your picture.
Tish is going to take
pictures. That's thanks. That's thanks. See, I spend the whole day. I don't talk.
I sound like 8 people coughing.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. They're a birthday present for me.
His plaid. What are they, Scottish? Kilt
like
pants?
Yeah,
I think they're kind of hip, maybe.
They're pants made out of kilt?
my girlfriend made me buy them. Or no, she bought them for me. She made herself buy them for me.
Did you write a song about that? Because this is Sing Songers.
Sorry. You want your picture?
No, everyone knows what I... No one knows what I look like, but that's okay.
That's not good, because...
You're probably more famous than I am.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's fine. That one just makes me nervous.
How many pictures of a guy sitting there can I take?
Yeah, there's... Yeah, no, that's one.
So when you started this band right out of high school, did you guys just all write the songs together?
Well, we had one, I hate jamming, but since we didn't know what we were doing, we had a couple days of just jamming in Ben's garage. And then he was put away, he ran away and was put away in a home in Maine. So he discovered Black Flag there and sort of wrote some songs on a bass. So we kind of started with those one. One of them was called I Hate Old Folks.
Uh-huh.
And that was one that we liked jamming on.
That's the perfect song to start right after high school.
Yeah.
Or even in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you say you started like without knowing, well, you knew a couple chords or what?
I knew, very little. I knew very little. Yeah. I mean, me and my friend tried to form a heavy metal band called Torturer when I was younger, but I barely got beyond the broom.
Yeah. I remember starting a band, and we spent like the first 2 weeks talking about our uniforms.
We were all about our stances. Family. Yeah, we were our stances. How are you going to stand?
Stance. That's hilarious. When did you get into actual writing?
My mom says I started pretty early, so I had a journal, and I would write poems and stupid things. And
did you ever I would write poems, but I would sing them when I was a kid. You know, like I didn't. Poems were boring to me. I wanted to write songs.
Yeah, mine. I came to writing through, I always talk about, I mean, I spend most of my time now writing, but I came through it with more of a frustration with the language. I don't consider myself like a really great knower of the English language.
Me neither.
For me, it was always a struggle. Growing up, I had something where it was hard for me to understand conversations and stuff. So I really had to sort of struggle to learn the language, you know.
That's interesting.
Speak.
Yeah. I feel like I was similar. You know, I'm not a good talker.
Yeah.
And that's why I have two podcasts.
Well, you make yourself do things. That's what life is about, is struggle and trying to get through it. So.
Yeah. But that's interesting that you started writing. I feel like writing is planning out a conversation, you know, where you could just take all the time you want and make it perfect.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, I started out, I worked on a novel that was about my family and my situation with my father and stuff. But I was having trouble with dialogue, so I wrote a play, and that's how I first became a playwright then. So that was kind of what I did in college mostly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And met all, you know.
How many plays have you written?
Full length plays, about 25.
Jesus. The fuck? Yeah.
And also with the Neo Futurists, we write short plays, like 2 minute plays, and I've written hundreds of those. So.
Yeah. Wow. Before I met you, I saw what was that play called?
Four Clowns and a Bench.
Four Clowns and a Bench. Yeah, that was great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That was one of Steve's, Steve Walker is a mutual friend, and he
directed that?
Yeah, mostly directed all of my plays.
Oh.
So we had a pretty good relationship with that, and that's one of his favorites.
Yeah.
So he brought it to LA. We did it in Chicago years before that. So.
Yeah. And then when did you actually sit down and start writing songs after you started your band?
I didn't feel confident as a songwriter until I started my second band, Even Blackouts, like in 2001.
Oh.
So I had already been in Screeching Weasel from 86 to then. So,
so who wrote most of the songs in Screeching Weasel?
Just the singer, Ben Foster, okay. Ben Weasel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he became sort of the known front man and the outspoken one. I would write, me and him sort of created the pop punk melodic solo. So we both sort of did those together because that's all we knew is like the C scale, you know. And
yeah, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I that's the only one I know because I learned it from in a Randy Rhoads Hot Licks book.
Wow, I mean, I probably done the C scale.
But... Oh yeah, it's one. It's just the do re mi fa sol la ti do re mi fa sol la ti do.
Oh yeah. I mean, I sang that as a kid I would sing the Sound of Music song.
Yeah, yeah. I actually covered with Even in Blackouts. We do
version. Really?
Yeah,
you do that
break out because my singer Liz is. Choir trained. She was never in a band before.
She's amazing. Yeah. You guys, I saw you and Liz and I forget his name.
Call him Gub.
Gub. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did I forget? and you guys, we did a show together in your living room in Chicago. And the three of you together, it reminded me of, you know, like kind of a harder, punkier version of the Weavers or Peter, Paul, and Mary. It was just really melodic and great.
Well, my idea was that I wanted to, when I stopped doing Screeching Weasel, I wanted to do, like, we did Weasel when it wasn't really cool to be in a melodic punk band.
Yeah.
In the midst of all the hardcore and Black Flag, we started this very melodic punk band. So I wanted, with my Even in Blackouts, I wanted to do something that was still energetic, but had a lot of against the grain sort of ideas.
So that group, that three group I saw was a version of Even in Blackouts.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I from the beginning, one of the ideas I had, but we didn't stick to, we tried touring with a little bit, was that we would have no electricity at all, not even mics. So at our shows, I bought big megaphones.
Yeah.
So we would actually attach them to the mic stands and just and do that. But once we got an audience larger than like 30 people, we couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Because no one could hear us.
Right. Yeah. That's why they have electricity.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had. Yeah. So you could see people and hear people. Yeah. So we added.
Unless you went to like Greece and in one of those old theaters and.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
But we would still, even in big amphitheaters, I would, in the middle of the set, we'd do a cover of Only You by Yaz, but yeah. We would do an acoustic version of it. And I would completely unplug, and me and Liz would just sit on the stage, and 100 people or 200 people would just gather and get really close.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would actually walk off the stage and see what audience joins me. Like I did that one time, I forgot, in Arizona, where I just... in the middle of talking, just walked off the stage and told people to come along. And we went outside and did it like on a street corner.
Oh, cool.
Because the idea, like even in blackouts, the idea was that we could play even in blackouts. So.
Oh, okay. Now it all comes together.
Yeah. So I constructed all the songs to be done acoustic or electric.
And did you write all those songs?
That's all my, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's that's mostly what I know of yours because of that night.
Yeah, it's pretty different from Screeching Weasel. Yeah. Yes.
I think I'd like. I'm not a big punk fan, to tell you the truth. Now that I hear about Screeching Weasel, maybe I would like it because it's melodic.
It's melodic, you know. It's we were pretty in your face. Like our singer was pretty aggressive, and that's what he was known for, as being very confrontational to the audience. So
yeah. Can I get some water? Sorry.
Half our set, half of it would be music, and the other half would be him arguing with the audience. So it became very confrontational. And,
so how do you write for even the blackouts? Are you writing for the different voices?
Yeah, that was another really cool challenge for me. Is because Liz didn't want to be a writer at all. Yeah. She just wants to be a singer. So I struggled with, I don't know, women's voices in plays. I don't know. I just was never very good at it. And, you know, you just treat them like people. But it was really exciting to me to try to write lyrics that would be for a man or woman to sing.
Yeah.
And later on, she just didn't even care. Like, she would do stuff that references, you know, being with a woman or whatever, you know.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I always wanted.
She was like, I don't really care, John. I'll just sing whatever, you know.
Yeah.
If it sounds good to us, we'll do it, you know.
You know that that song by Lou Reed, The Gift, I think it's called The Gift. I'm just a gift to the women of the world. Mm-hmm. I always thought like a woman should cover that.
And it's no surprise that we end up getting a lot of lesbian fans too, because they all fall in love with Liz. And
well, she's fallen lovable.
You better believe it. Yeah. And she's one of the only singers I know that actually does a lot of work. Like on tour, she refuses not to do anything. She'll carry all the equipment and yeah, she's pretty great. She's Jesus. Like one of the guys, but looks very like a girl.
It's the perfect combination.
Yeah.
That's how I like my guys, too.
Yeah, she's a South Side girl. She's from the South Side of Chicago, so.
Yeah.
She grew up in some pretty hard neighborhoods, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And now she's living in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
So you wrote all those songs. Wow.
Yeah, most of them. Later on in the band, when I got to get a lot of young kids at first because I wanted to tour more, and then I realized they were a little bit harder out on the road. So I went back and got some of my old stalwart friends that were around in punk for years, and Gubb came along with that.
Yeah.
And then he started writing some of the stuff too. So
when you write, like you said, you tried writing for a woman, were they sort of call and response type songs or some of them?
I would sit there and we would go over. I just kind of avoided the he or she sort of aspect of it for a while. And it became more about first and second person, you know, like I or you.
Right.
At first. And then I would show her all the lyrics and we would talk through the meanings of the songs. Because I wanted her to not just be a singer. I wanted her to, you know, feel what she was saying.
Yeah.
And then she would speak up sometimes if she didn't agree with something or didn't think it would be something she would say. So I would just change the words here and there.
Yeah. There's one song that stands out, and I can't remember much about it, but it was a call and response that you two did together. Do you remember what that was that night.
I don't know. Love Cynical Style was one I remember I thought you liked, but...
Can you play that one?
I can play it. I think...
No, I don't want to put you on the spot if you don't want to do it.
I think maybe that's the one. You know, the reason I, you know, we're on Sing Songers, but the reason I got a singer is because I don't like singing alone. Yeah. I don't consider myself a singer, but...
Well, you've got a good voice. I mean, I consider myself a singer, and I'm a bad singer.
Yeah. So let's see. Oh, no, I got to remember.
I often wonder why you often wonder why I love you. We've got a love, a love, cynical style. I'll never lie, no, I'll never lie to you. Never lie to me, and we'll never lie. No, we'll never lie, never ever lie. I can't hold what I don't understand. Sit and wonder why I'm here with you, and wonder even more why you're here with me. We'll live together and we'll love each other both night, night and day. We'll overcome our cynical love. We'll overcome our cynical love. I can't hold what I don't understand, and I can't fathom what love means. We've got a love, a cherished kind of love. We've got a love, a respected kind of love. Cynical style.
And this is a different voice.
I will be waiting, waiting for you. I will be waiting, waiting for your love to die.
So now wait a second. So that whole first part is one person singing?
It's me and her together.
Right.
And we switch between like the I often wonder why, you often wonder
right,
why,
right.
I often wonder
right.
why.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
and then
yeah.
The last one is a third voice that wasn't in the song at all. So.
That was Gub?
Yeah, it was Gub.
That's a great song. So I'm going to put you on the spot because you're one of the few guests, and I haven't asked anyone this because you've had a chance to hear my music. Do you have any kind of critique for my songs?
Any kind of critique.
Well, I can take it.
You know, I didn't get to... The solo stuff is great. I mean, of course, you as a comedic writer comes out all over the storytelling and the writing.
Yeah, the band, believe me, you didn't hear it all because I was sick and Io was angry.
I would like to hear it with the second guitars because I think that probably brings out
a tomorrow.
Little more melody. Because the thing about being a sing-songer and mostly a lyricist is you start playing with the same. I noticed you play with the G and the C a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And the D. And then. I mean, why you have a second guitar is because they start.
They make it sound like I'm a great musician.
Yeah, they start experimenting with that. So, I mean, that's their job. That's kind of like what I do with the band, too. I'll come up with the basic.
Yeah.
Parts, and then you have these other people that know what they're doing more.
Yeah, yeah.
Fill it in.
Yeah, like I can't tell. Did you feel like when you heard my set on my own that a lot of the songs just started blending into each other and sounded the same?
Musically.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But lyrically, no. I mean, think that's.
Right.
That's what each one is different.
Yeah.
And I think what you want to start doing and. Why I started the acoustic band is start discovering different rhythms, different ways of strumming.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like you hear on that one, I come from the punk world, so it's all about downstroking.
Right, right.
But the cool thing about downstroking is you learn to play pretty fast, and it's it makes muting sound so much better.
Yeah.
So I would just say practice different sort of strumming patterns.
Right. Gotta practice.
Well, it's also hard to do that. And that's why it's great to have a second guitarist. It's hard to, there's some rhythms that are just hard to do when you're singing, you know, you want to play to what you're singing, but to make it more leveled, you have your
it's
rhythm.
It's true.
Doing something different.
I when I'm writing my songs, I'm like, I want to say different things and I don't want to waste my time with the instrumentation, but then you realize you could say things quite differently with a different feel to the song, in your strumming. So
I'm agreeing
with you that I'm an idiot.
I often struggle with, I heard some of your podcasts talking about the choruses. Choruses are always difficult for me. And when I write, often I don't even think about verse chorus, and sometimes I don't have any. But I do feel it's very important for the melody, and for it allows your audience to catch up to you. You know, you tell a story and then allows you to come back to a line that they're familiar with, so that it's very helpful in music to have the chorus.
Yeah, I found that when I first write a song, that's the chorus. Because that's the catchy part in my head.
Yeah.
And then I kind of have to write backwards and lead up to it in some way.
Sort of, it's just like coming up with a phrase and then justifying that phrase by coming up with the story.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So,
I do that with playwriting too. I kind of picked that up from playwriting. And like I used to watch Sam Shepard stuff, and there's the, what's the one with where he's walking across the desert, that movie? Paris, Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, I bet he just had the image of this guy in a suit walking across the desert.
Yeah.
And then he had to justify it with a story.
Yeah. Well, you've seen Bedazzled, right? Peter Cook, Dudley Moore. You know they started with nuns on a trampoline.
Yeah.
And worked their way completely backwards.
What do we do with that?
You know, that's literally the end of the movie.
Yeah.
With the only play I ever wrote, Trent, I started with a sketch in the middle where a guy's walking his baby out in the winter, cold winter of Chicago, and a big thing happens. And then I wrote backwards and forwards, from the middle out.
I wouldn't say all creativity is best in that way, but sometimes I've learned from the Neo Futures, where we have to write every week, that I learned, and we have rehearsals on Tuesday, I learned that I could try to come up with a play like days earlier, but it would never get in. The ones that would get in are the ones that I came up with like that day and tried to justify by walking, forwards and back.
Right. Do you find that?
The songs are like that too.
Yeah, your best songs are the ones that just kind of pop out.
Yeah, there's a couple where because often the question is, do you come up with music or lyrics first?
Right.
And, the one that is my favorite, If Leaving, which I might like to play.
Yeah,
sometime.
I
might
have played.
But that one was one of those that you were talking about where it came out simultaneously. Like it was the length of the song was the length of the words. And I put words in there as placeholders, but then I never changed them out. They just seemed to work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's usually your first instinct is the best.
But then I have other songs. The way I work, it seems, is if I want to have a song that tells more of an intellectual story, I'll write it first, and then the music just follows those. And it may not even have a chorus, it just kind of follows the story, and I change the chords where it seems like.
Yeah, it kind of magically happens where the music backs up your story in a way. And usually you can tell, like, that music just doesn't go with these words at all, you know? Do you run into that a lot, or?
I would run into that more with Screeching Weasel. With Even in Blackouts, I don't write a lot of songs. I write very slowly, so I kind of have to cherish the ones that I've come up with.
How many songs do you think you've written?
We have five records, so I think I've written about 50, 60 songs?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah. I think that's probably as many as I've written in my life, yeah. And they're not all album worthy.
Yeah, but I've co-written, you know, with I counted the other night. It was 20 records, so I've co-written, I don't know, a couple hundred of songs.
Yeah. 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 How do you co-write? Is it mostly jamming or?
No, we never jam. Yeah. I mean, no, we stop jamming after that first second rehearsal. Yeah. Once we're like, I think I know what I'm doing. Now you go home and you write something. I'll go home and I'll write something.
Because when I worked with someone, I didn't write the music. I just kind of thought of a melody. And mostly it wasn't even a melody. It was the phrasing in my head and the words, you know, and then my friend put music to it.
With Weasel, he would completely write the songs, the foundation. And he would write on bass and maybe keyboard sometimes, mm-hmm. just kind of pluck out notes. And then I would try to come up with some sort of melodic solo that goes with that chord progression.
Yeah.
So that was my contribution mostly to that. And then strumming patterns.
Yeah, I know with my band, and I mentioned this on the last podcast, was that, you know, for royalties, we split everything evenly for songwriting.
Yeah.
Even though I write the melody and the words, they add so much just by, you know, their instrumentation. And it changes the song completely, like you were saying.
Yeah. Ours, there's different. There's publishing, and then there's a new company. I forgot, the Musicians something? I get royalties. Because now they split it up now where you get royalties for the songs, and that's divided between the band members, but then you get royalties also for the songwriting or the publishing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that mostly, and with Weasel goes to Ben. There's lots of that, and that's mostly goes to Ben because we were in movies and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
But anytime it's played on the radio, I'll get a little chunk of that, a couple cents here and there.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to apologize, everyone. I must be disgusting.
Yeah. You were sick for the last couple of days.
Yeah. You're staying in my back house. And I thought we were going to hang out and drink and stuff. And I'm just dead. I was just dead for 3 days.
That's fine.
Yeah. And you played a little of the guitar.
You want me to play a little guitar?
No, you played a little.
Oh, I did?
Because this guitar is in my back house.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know a lot about guitars. I was just talking about this the other night where I have, my punk guitar was whatever I could afford. And when it broke, I would replace, like, the bridge with pen caps and stuff like that. So but with acoustic, it seems like I really have to warm up to one for some reason because the sound is just, everything is right there. And you're...
Yeah. This was, it's kind of a Frankenstein guitar. I think the body is a 12 string, and the neck is a 6 string.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't even know.
My,
we have to play ones that are sort of, that are acoustic electric, so I have a Martin that has like a very thin body for an acoustic.
I love those. Yeah. I played that once, and it was great.
It's really nice sounding.
What do you write on? One of those?
I write on that. I write on the acoustic.
Do you play any other instruments?
I play flute, mandolin. Actually, I just toured in a Broadway musical as a mandolin player, so it was pretty bizarre doing Irish songs.
Did you ever try writing a song with the mandolin?
Yeah. Yeah, the first instrument I ever owned was a mandolin, and
I
started putting like poetry to it. Was horrible stuff. Uh-huh. One called The Chameleon about... You know, trying to stick out or...
Yeah. That's the opposite of chameleon.
Well, I know.
It's ironic.
It's teaching yourself not to be the chameleon.
Oh, I see.
Or to be able to change your colors.
Yeah.
You know,
all right,
to not match
the background.
You're
not so dumb. You're not so dumb.
But that was on mandolin.
How different is it to... I mean, I used to have a mandolin.
Mandolin is tuned like a violin, like a classical instrument. So I don't even know what that's. G something A D E, I think.
But obviously the quality or the style of the songs are going to be different because, you know, you're going to be writing about chameleons.
Yeah, chameleons and leprechauns and things. Yeah. It's very Irish sounding too.
Yeah. That would be cool to write just like a good down-home American song on a mandolin.
Yeah, I bet there are some bands that do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then, though, it's hard. I mean, someone who doesn't know theory, it was difficult to, because I have to know all the chords in my head. It's like I was on tour with these guys that with this Broadway musical where people, you just said some kind of incarnation of a chord and they know how to figure out wherever it is in there.
Wow.
But I have to memorize them all. So I had to learn all these Czechoslovakian weird suspended chords on mandolin and just keep them all in my head.
Here's what you should write on mandolin, a xenophobic song.
Xenophobic?
Yeah, like just you hate other cultures, but you're singing it on a mandolin.
And you're trying to claim the mandolin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could have that idea.
Xeno.
You don't want it.
Mandophobia.
Oh, yeah. Mandophobia.
No, I don't want it.
I don't blame you. All right, well, what's that other song you wanted to play?
What I was thinking about...
Because I have to turn away from the mic and cough a lot.
Okay, so what I was thinking
about... Play a loud song.
Once again, I flourish better when I'm performing with my bandmates, but I must know how to play because I learned...
I write
songs and I play them. I play them, you know, like crazy, but I always feel more comfortable with other people. That's why I've always been in bands and not just touring on my own.
I always play perfectly in my home by myself, and then when I'm on here, I forget everything.
You're not just saying it. It's kind of true. I mean, that's what I would do too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when I was at home practicing for this, that song was way better than I just did. But
no, it sounded great. But I forget. I stop in the middle.
Well, the thing I was going to bring up is why I wanted to do this one is more because of the simple lyrics, but also that it's about trying to steal from other people, but have it be your own at the same time. And there is this Aerosmith song called Sick as a Dog. I don't know if you know it, but it has this riff that's beautiful.
Let's see, I'm living it. So.
Yeah, it goes.
I'm going to cough during it.
And I really like that rhythm. It's kind of a strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of stole that one day and tried to morph it into something else, and I came up with this song called If Leaving Were to Be So Easy. So,
right.
Let me see if you want me to try to do it.
I want you to do whatever you want.
Okay.
You said you wanted to try it.
Yeah, I know, and it's exciting to be able to do it, but it's so...
Take your time. We got, you know, it's great. I love wasting time on this show.
Anti-podcast. Okay.
Leave me alone.
has a little screwy there near the end, but it does a whole nother thing when the band kicks in. So at the last moment, I was trying to go, how do I make this shorter?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could see how, like, with a full band, it would be, I mean, it's great, but that's what it was written for.
Yeah. It's written for that. And I was playing a lot with just repeating the same line over and how you make it different. And I was trying to study more about melody with that. Like, how do I make that same line on the same chord sound different each time? So, and that's usually my conversations with Liz are about that, since she has like a great range. I'll just say, make this one line sound different three times.
That's great. Is she like musically educated? Or?
She's born natural. She has, I'm told from our engineers that she has like perfect pitch and stuff like that.
Yeah, I believe it.
But she was in choir, and then she played in front of the Pope in Rome, like when she was in high school, because she was so good.
Jesus.
But she didn't have a lot of training. And then she was never in a band until I asked her to be in a band.
Wow.
So it's the only band she's been.
And she never wrote songs?
No, she has no inclination. No, she doesn't want to at all.
Yeah.
I try to get her to, because I want her, you know, she's a strong woman. I want her point of view, but she's just not interested in it.
Do you ever talk to her about, like, what kind of songs she wants to sing, and you write those songs for her?
No, she won't.
She doesn't care.
No.
She'll just sing whatever.
Yeah.
Oh. That's great.
It is. I think she hides a lot inside, but she's one of those. She used to be a stoner, and she's just kind of happy, doing what she does. And and she probably would not have been in the band if I hadn't like made her do it. So
you should. I'm coming up with more ideas for you to write. Okay. You should just pretend you're her and write some songs about like about her kid and stuff, like how she feels about her kid. Maybe even like talk to her like, so how's it going? You know?
Yeah.
And then just go and write something and then give it to her and just go, hey, you want to sing this? And she'll go, what? This is about me.
That's actually a really good idea. Yeah.
Right, finally.
I tried to get her to, I said, just give me some of your like diary notes or whatever. And I'll riff off of those. And
give me some of your diary notes. That was a smooth one. Just some where my name's.
Yeah, you know my name's in there. Maybe when you thought about me, maybe. I had that opportunity. It was long gone. I always had a rule about no relationships in the band, and everyone sort of had a relationship with her except for me. So I'm the only one who stuck to my only.
Well, that was your rule. You'd be a hypocrite if you broke it.
So now it's a deeper relationship without that sort of involved.
That's true. I always think, like, you know, why do I have to put women through the Dino hating machine? Why can't we just be friends?
Yeah. And luckily, that's kind of what we got, because we are pretty important to each other. So.
Is the band still going?
We officially broke up of quite a few years ago, like 7 years ago, but because I kind of ran out of money and I couldn't. All the weasel money I put into that band, and it never really caught on. So I just didn't have any money, and no one else in the band would take the leadership role.
Can you still buy the recordings?
Yeah, you can still get them.
Where?
I'm
not ending
iTunes
the podcast.
And you know, you can. It's hard to find them in stores, but you can get them the special order, things like that. Yeah. But someone is re-releasing a box set soon, so it'll all be together
on CD.
With some live.
Do you
stuff,
have any vinyl of it?
Not with Even Blackouts. All the Weasel stuff is on vinyl.
Yeah.
And I have another band called The Mopes. We have vinyl out too.
I wanna make Even in Blackouts. Even the Blackouts?
Even in Blackouts.
Even in Blackouts. Yeah. I want to bring them back.
You want to bring us
popular.
Back?
Yeah.
It is. I took a while to get just the right people, but that group of people. Are pretty special. Like anytime we stay with people, you know, whenever we go on tour, we stay in people's houses, you know, and sometimes we'll play their living rooms and we'll cook for them and the whole band. It's kind of strange, but we all want to be in the same room when we sleep.
Well, like, if you ever come out to LA, you know the house.
Yeah. So we're pretty, like, me and Liz and Gub are keeping it going, but it's hard to get the full band
together. I think the three of you sound great together. Not that I haven't heard the whole band, but you guys should come out here and play some shows.
I'd love to. When I get back from Japan, I think I'll probably push that issue a little bit more.
Right. So this is interesting, and it's not about songwriting, but you're in Japan at Universal Studios.
Yeah, Universal Studios.
Is, and you're playing a wizard in the Harry Potter.
Yeah, the Ollivander. In the Ollivander shop, I sell wands.
Yeah.
Ollivander no tsui wa subute, kyōryoko na madyoko motto mono shi ni tsukatte iru.
Jesus, if I have to hear that one more time. that's pretty cool. Have you been inspired to write anything about just that whole experience?
Well, I'm taking a lot of notes because as long as I'm decide to be under contract with them, I'm not allowed. Even this isn't really supposed to be allowed.
Mm.
But
no one listens to this.
Yeah, that's why I'm not worried.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm under contract not to say anything about it. But I got a couple ideas. I was actually thinking of writing, because I have a couple novels out, and I was thinking of writing one about like Harry Potter, but an actual musician. I mean, an actual wizard who is playing a wizard at the Wizarding World, and see what where that would lead.
Yeah.
Like he actually has to dummy down his own magic.
I had an idea that reminds me of that. It's not the same at all, but that Universal Studios started suing this little Eastern European village where all the monsters came from. They started suing them, and then instead of suing them, they end up opening a theme park and using the real monsters. And so it was a whole show where we never did it, but
yeah,
where they would have to, there'd have to be, a certain person in charge of not making sure the monsters don't kill all the guests,
You're big on the Frankenstein. We've talked about that before. Have you ever?
Yeah, they canceled Frankenhole, so I was trying to come up with another one.
Man.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. It was getting better.
How do you? I'm going to ask you. How did you find translating what you do to that into songwriting? Do you find it's like a one-to-one correlation, or how do you?
Well, I mean, I've always written songs. I just never had the confidence to do them.
Yeah.
But. I just, I'm obsessed with it now just because it's so fun and relatively easy for me because, they're like little pieces. And I have so many things I want to say that to write like even a 20-minute television show would be too much work.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of like writing these small
little
pieces.
Fragments.
Yeah, fragments. Yeah.
I resisted writing for so long because I tried to write with Screeching Weasel and they were all bad. I was trying to be, I had this bad song that was about Slaughterhouse-Five, Kurt Vonnegut.
Uh-huh.
I was just trying to be literary and I didn't know what I was doing, so I stopped writing. And I didn't really start thinking seriously about writing songs again until I started with the Neo Futurists and had to write short plays. So they sort of hammered in your head that you gotta learn to write concise.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't tackle the whole thing or you start leveling things like an image will say one thing while your text is saying another.
It was interesting. Wait, you were saying something. It just left my head because my head is full of snot.
Your ears are popping.
This is a nightmare.
I'm glad I could be here for your nightmare.
Yeah, it's not about you.
Yeah, I'm glad, I actually requested to do this, so I'm happy you to letting me do it.
No, this is definitely a great podcast, but I just...
Isn't it too early to say that,
I'm having fun. No, I could tell. I could tell. And it's not too early. We're 43 minutes in. These things barely last an hour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How are you?
Pause. And they're done.
My head. When you were sitting around for 3 days while I was sick, what questions did you imagine? Did you like Rupert Pupkin me? Were you like pretending to be interviewed by me?
Was I pretending to be interviewed by you? No, but I was.
You weren't? Jesus.
Yeah, no, I listened to your podcast, so I tried to come in, unlike some other people, knowing more than one. So I listened to about like five or six of them.
Yeah.
And I thought the thought, things I could bring were like what I had, more like I, because here's the thing. You could have people, this is more about entertainment to me, because you could have as many people as you want telling you how they do it, but ultimately a lot of it's not going to matter.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going to learn.
You're going to learn the way you learn, and some of it's going to be stereotypical the way everyone learns, but it's...
I'm thinking maybe I'll get something through osmosis, but but mostly I'm just interested in songwriting and just talking about it. I don't know if I'm going to apply anything that I've learned from this podcast, just because I'm, you know, everyone who I have on is more adept at playing the guitar and writing than I am.
Well, that's what you do. You surround yourself with people that are good. So
I surround myself with the smartest people all the time. So I'm always the dumbest in the room.
Yeah. That was one thing I was going to talk about. I hope it's related, but because I did bring it up a little bit about being a writer doesn't come from like a John Updike or Somerset Maugham for me where I know writing. It's more like struggling with language.
Yeah.
And that started when I was really young. I don't know why. I'm going to tell the short story, maybe.
No.
But I was in second grade, and I remember this to this day, that I was put in the lowest reading group. And there's three reading groups, but they made us all be in the same room, just different sections.
Yeah.
And the teacher would go around and teach different levels of stuff to each group. And I was so disappointed that I was in the lower one that I would only listen to what the highest group was.
That's interesting. Learning. Maybe that's why they did that.
So, yeah. So I wouldn't read what I was supposed to be reading. I would only listen to what they were doing. Yeah. So I got even worse.
Oh.
but where I was getting at is one of the things that one of the stories that they got to read was Stone Soup, which is till to this day one of my favorite.
Oh, that sounds really familiar.
It's about this guy, this vagabond who doesn't have anything, and he walks into this village.
Oh, right, okay, I got it.
And he's like, I'm going to make these people make
something. And I need some ingredients.
Yeah, I need some ingredients. So all he has is a stone.
Yeah.
So that's what I feel like we are, Dino, is you.
Yeah.
You bring the stone, and then you have everyone make your soup.
That's so true. Jesus, did you have to say it in front of everyone? Well, no, I mean, everyone who will
listen
to this, which is seven other people.
Everyone that will be everyone.
Yeah. I read, I used to read interviews with Woody Allen a lot when I was in high school, and someone asked him how much does grammar matter in writing? He's like, nothing, absolutely nothing, you know, just all about getting your voice out. You know.
Yeah, my a lot of the actors that were in my plays would actually try to adopt my misspellings into the actual scripts. Like I had a character named Joseph and Mark Montgomery. You know Mark Montgomery, but he was supposed to say this line about this small town and Joseph, you know, works at the bakery, but I spelled it Joseph, so that's how he would say it. You know, Joseph all the way down at the. but I don't know. That's another thing about writing that I was talking about last night, about how you just sort of, you can't be afraid of mistakes and failures because they become sometimes your best like creations.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And sometimes perfection. Some of the people that I know, the best musicians, can't write because they hear something and they go, oh, that's already been done. And I can't do it.
Yeah, they get inside their head.
And they get inside their head and go, oh, that chord needs to go to this chord. And then it just becomes very bland.
Right. Yeah, I definitely wrote a lot more when I didn't know anything about.
Yeah.
You know, especially when I didn't play guitar at all, I would think of very interesting phrasings, you know, that I don't think of anymore. You know.
Yeah, I the one like in Love Cynical Style, I first wrote as a Too Much Light play, and that one I was kind of proud of myself with the language of it. It's just a lot of the words over and over, but the like I often wonder why you often wonder why I love you, you know, that sort of stuff, that sort of wordplay I like.
Yeah, I
couldn't think about it. It would just come out. You know?
That reminded me of one of the earliest songs I wrote, and one part was. And I can't understand why you can't understand that I can't understand why you can't understand. But you gotta understand that I can't understand why you can't understand that I can't understand.
Yeah, the repeating of a word is, I think, great in music because it really sort of it creates a tension often. Or a lullaby. So you can create a lullaby feeling with the repeating of a word or phrase, too.
Yeah.
It's just all how it's used. So I'm really fascinated with the limiting of the amount of lyrics you use in a song.
Yeah, that's something I have to get back to, I think, because I put a lot of lyrics. I have a lot to say.
I was really affected by your Dad Sit Down one. I really like.
Yeah, that one song. Seems to be a favorite.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's good. It's a good story, and it takes you different places, I think.
Yeah,
you expect it.
I think the reason it's kind of unexpected is it's two songs put together.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But he made it work.
Yeah.
I mean, I always say a lot of creativity is the combining of two disparate images or two disparate things. And that's what the brain does, basically, is it connects, you know, that's what creativity and uniqueness is trying to come up with two things that
Charlie Kaufman
justifying
said.
Justifying. Yeah.
When he wrote Being John Malkovich, he had half of two screenplays that he didn't know what to do with, and he just put them together. One was about, like, the 33rd and a half floor or whatever it was, you know, and the other one was about going into someone's body and you just put them both together.
Yeah. And they start, you know, way back with the Surrealists, they started that with the accidental stuff with the exquisite corpses. But then, you know, once you do it yourself, you start doing the subconscious, you know, does the creation for you or combines them.
Have you ever tried writing a song? This is, you know, like kind of a story, a way of writing short stories that I've done, but I've never done it with songs where you'd write a verse and then maybe just give someone the last line to that verse and have them write the next verse. And
That's the exquisite corpse that taken into. Yeah,
that's
the Surrealists used to do it with.
That's why it sounded familiar.
They used to do it with writing too.
Yeah.
But the famous ones were with the drawings, and then you would just get the bottom of the drawing and continue it on.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't done that yet. I don't play well with others with writing, it turns out.
Yeah.
I bring it to the band, I do. Yeah. They can do whatever they want musically, but I tend to be pretty strict about what I've already written.
Well, do you feel like your songs, I mean, the two you played today are pretty personal. They seem.
Yeah, well, the funny thing, most of them are personal. That's another thing.
That's why you don't want to, like, do round robin with lyrics.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. I do try to write more. No, I don't. I get pretty serious with the songwriting. Well, I had another thought there, but I forgot what it is. Oh, what I was going to say is that the only songs I feel comfortable actually playing as I was trying to figure them out in that room for 3 days are, it turns out to be like these sort of cynical love type songs. Like the last one was, I was trying to understand my borderline girlfriend from years and years ago and contrary things about wanting to go but stay at the same time. And then I realized I was actually writing about myself because I felt that way too, where you want somebody to be there but you also want them not to be there.
Yeah. I just wrote a song about that called Over Your Heart.
Over Your Heart.
Yeah. And it's... And it goes back and forth to I don't need you to I need you in some weird ways. Yeah. But I'm not going to sing it because I can't even talk.
but by what I was getting is that I think the things that I can play here are more personal stuff because I don't know. I feel like I can emotionally play it better than.
Yeah.
Because that's where they come from. But I prefer to have Liz interpret all of my stuff, like maybe for the rest of my life.
Well, when you guys sang together, it was fun and sweet. And it you could tell there was like some depth to it. But also it was funny, you know. You guys had a good camaraderie in like singing with
each other. Yeah. She's really accepting of my – I mean, they – I was pretty well known before I came in to know those people, and they had a respect for me already. But then you make it real when you know people. You know, they see your bad sides and they see all your good sides. And when you tour with people, the ones that stick around are the ones that can laugh with you and you know, cry with you and all that. So, and we've been through all that shit. So, you know, we toured Europe like 8 times, and you know, in dirty vans and.
Yeah.
The whole United States. Sleeping in the van, sleeping in, you know, one rooms and stuff.
After after your first tour, did you go back and think, I'd like to write songs for a certain city I was in, or like thinking about going back and like singing like a specific song to them?
I don't. I think what I'm affected by writing is very limited.
Yeah.
It draws from the same place that my playwriting and I think my novels even do, about trying to understand chaos and understand the self. And
yeah,
they pretty much come from that sort of place.
Right.
I try to write things.
Well, you know,
more
you could
outward.
Be like Florence, Italy. You really understand chaos, you know.
Well, that's good. There you go. And that's why you do what you do. Once I start doing things like that, I feel fake.
Right,
I don't know why. It's not even a judgment on it.
Well, no, you've got to do what you feel, definitely.
Yeah. And that's why I feel with songwriting, I'm fairly limited in that degree.
Yeah, I'm trying to write a Christmas album that's very personal. And that's an interesting struggle, because they've all got to be about the season in some way.
Yeah.
You know.
And they all have a certain feel to, like, really good Christmas songs have a certain, if I knew chords and keys and structures, I would say, oh, that's because they do this. But all of the great classic songs just feel like Christmas songs.
Yeah.
You know?
Some of them, yeah, even if they're sad.
Like Jack Frost nipping at your nose. And,
yeah. You know what they all do? Not all, but a lot of them do. On the last strum, the last chord, you'd hear, you know, no matter, you know, Jack Frost.
Yeah.
Anyway, Merry Christmas to you. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, 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 ding. They all end with jingle bells.
WXRT had this in Chicago, the radio station had, every year they do a Christmas thing where you got to write like a 1 minute, they have bands to do one. And we did one of those. And that's how I ended it, with the bells ringing.
Yeah.
It was called an infinite holiday song, where it's sort of it's a really stupid song, but it's funny.
What's your favorite, favorite holiday song, whether it's a darker one or...
My favorite is God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. I just love
like a
God
traditional
Rest
one.
You Merry Gentlemen. I just love how low and high it gets. And that sounds dark. That's like a dark sounding song to me.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a good dark one. I'm thinking of calling the album Shivers in the Cold, because that's a line from Do You Hear What I Hear?
Yeah.
But it sounds depressing.
Yeah. I also like The Drummer Boy, and that's kind of a
depressing
song. That's a really great song.
Yeah. But then there's, you know, the ones that, the more modern ones.
I tend not to like many of them, but name some and we'll see if
Fairy Tale of New York.
Oh, well, yeah, there. That's to me not it. Yeah.
I mean, that's a Christmas song.
It is. You're right. It is. But it goes beyond.
No, I was talking about this the last podcast, like... They brought up Paul McCartney's, which is a piece of shit. That,
yeah.
Wonderful Christmas.
Oh, yeah. That was super.
To die for that one.
Yeah. Sugary, happy, happy one. That he,
yeah. But then I love, So This Is Christmas. What is it called?
So This Is Christmas. John Lennon's?
Yeah.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
And it has two titles, right? Happy Christmas or something about the war.
War is Over.
War is Over.
Yeah. I like that one. Do you like that one?
Yeah.
And Bowie and Bing Crosby's version of
Little Drummer Boy. Yeah.
But Bowie added
It veers into that other part, yeah.
I wonder, you know, was Bing for that? I feel like Bing was probably kind of conservative, who was for the war or something.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the thing that they got those two together, because they were not very common or probably even agreed on anything.
I'm trying to think of other good...
I can name ones I don't like. The one that you always hear is Rick Springsteen's...
Santa Claus Coming to Town.
Yeah. There's a...
Yeah.
I used to work in a coffee shop and we used to have to listen to that. Rock Christmas.
I don't like the happy rock Christmas songs.
Yeah.
Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock.
Yeah.
That's an awful song.
Yeah.
Jingle Horse. I think Jeff Davis always talks about, what's a jingle horse?
What is it? Yeah, do they...
It's a horse with jingle bells on it. But fuck them.
Fuck the jingle horses.
Yeah, that's it's and the where a lot of people are going recently are into children records too. A lot of punks are writing because now they're becoming parents, so they're writing a lot of children records. That's really popular in the punk scene now.
Right. Like,
putting out these.
Jesus, yeah. I don't know if I could do it. You know, I try. I write animated shows, and they're awful. Even adults get depressed.
You know they're good.
I didn't say... No, I don't mean awful like they're badly written. I just mean they're awful for humanity. No.
Yeah, I'm just going to pause instead of saying it.
I know. My head's all stuffed up. I don't know what I'm talking about. Do you have one more song before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I have two different things I was playing with, but there's one that's not a love song, that's a talk song. Is that all right, or do you want like a singing
song?
No,
talk song is good.
Let me see if I can remember all of it.
Is it like C.B. McCall's? Like
It's called...
Breaker 1-9.
No, it's pretty serious. It's called The Ballad of the Pearson Grimm. This wasn't even Black Eyed. This is a song that I just, that's for me, that I do. I'm going to see if I can remember how it goes. In my dreams, he only comes to me as the man who left my mother. The sick man. The dying man who I found trying to put his pants on over his head. The dying man who only stopped dying long enough to tell us he was done. He actually told us he was done just before he died. He never comes to me as the man that took me to the beach. The man who let me rub his belly, and that always made me laugh. The man who taught me to appreciate Marx Brothers, Mel Brooks and Peter Sellers. The man who put me right here. Why do my dreams only show me the dark sides? Why do my dreams only show me the dark sides? Why do my dreams only show me the dark sides? When so many, so many ice creams and movies and billiard balls, beautiful tap dancers and VFW halls, father and son, the father and son that went so wrong. The father and son that often felt so right. The father and son is proud of you. He's proud of you. You and me and you are proud of us. Tonight.
Nice. That, did you write that on mandolin?
This chord progression I did, yeah.
Yeah. So did you have like a poem and then a chord progression and you put them together or did you write
them? I just started playing and that came out.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. And whenever I play it, I always change out the memories are always a little bit different.
Oh, really?
Like ice cream and movies. That's just whatever comes to my mind at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a song like that where I could change the lyrics and ad lib. Lou Reed always said he did it with Sweet Jane because it was just...
Yeah,
that lick and you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of good. My friend the Apers, a Netherlands punk band. They're from Rotterdam, tough part of the Netherlands. But they've been playing together so long that they just break out and he just makes up new lyrics every time for songs and just keeps to the same chorus. You know.
Yeah.
So everyone can follow along still.
That's cool.
I can't do that very well too. It throws me off, especially when I'm playing.
Wow. Well, John, thanks.
Yeah, I hope that was an okay one. I mean, that was a serious one to end it on, but
that was a great one because we never had anything like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, beautiful.
That's like my twisted Arlo Guthrie. You know, he does all those talk songs, and then I was sort of influenced by that. But then I tend to be more serious, so that's what that's where it goes.
That's cool. So it's your own style. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great, John Jughead Pearson. Do you still go by Jughead?
I added it back into my name because I'm trying to be okay with the different people that I am.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to help my audiences meet each other, like the theater and the acting. So that's, yeah. I mean, and the music. So that's why I combined. I used to be just known as Jughead in the band and,
yeah.
you know, John Pearson. But
right, right.
So now I allow it to
that's
be part
good.
Of
well,
my
those,
name.
Those two worlds belong together.
yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for being on Sing Songer, 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 Songer. I never ended it like that.
Maybe never again.
Yeah, no, probably never. With this nose. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Dino.